This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Ravens coming off a win, their fifth straight, 41-31 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. However, the defensive numbers were not pretty, and if you look at the stats season long, they're not pretty. But let's talk about this game on Monday night and how this might look, feel moving ahead to Cleveland. Film study defense.
Yeah, when we look at it, overall, just kind of taking big picture view, the pass rush wasn't good. The defensive line didn't do a good job stopping the run. They couldn't stop Stevens couldn't stop Mike Evans. They couldn't cover running backs out of the backfield. And they gave up seven explosive plays. And Bob, and I'll get into it. Watching Marcus Williams, I mean, he made one nice play towards the end of the game. He plays so deep and so cautious. And he does it every game. I don't know if that's not what they're asking him to do. Is play 17 yards deep and don't let anybody get behind you? Because it looks like they're playing with 10. You know, and he's just a safety valve back there because he's not involved in anything. He doesn't get involved hardly in any tackles whatsoever. So I don't know. And, you know, the more I watch him play, he doesn't play like a Raven. Like, a Raven, to me, is a nasty, physical guy on defense. He is not that. He used to be that.
He was that, yeah.
Yeah, so he used to be that. I don't know what happened. I mean, this year, all of a sudden, like, he won't hit a soul. And he plays, you know, he's not even in the picture a lot of times. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of disappointing because, like I said, they are playing with 10. Because he won't blow anybody. Like, we see Kyle Hamilton lays dudes out. Like, he hit that tight end on the one, we wouldn't ever see Marcus Williams doing that. You know, and he just, I don't, he's not aggressive. And he plays the same position as Anton Winfield. And you see Winfield hitting people coming up. And, yeah, I mean, and Marcus Williams was doing that last year with one arm. So I don't know what the issue is, but he continues to do the same thing. And the running back thing. On the first one that they turned the running back loose on the left side, Adafe Owe is supposed to drop, you know, and he's trying to jam the receiver, you know, to help out the DB and then go to the flat. Hell, by the time he gets the flat, they've already completed it and the running back's running down the field. Another one, or on two others, it looked like that Roquan, he's faking like he's blitzing and Rashid White is motioning out, then Roquan's got a whole ass to get out there, and then he kind of gets picked going through. So, I mean, and then that happened a couple times. He did make it, you know, in the fourth quarter, he did make one where he got a free exit out to the running back, and he did make the tackle. But they're having problems covering the running backs. They couldn't cover Mike Evans, and who knows, Bob, what would have happened if Evans stayed healthy in that game. And defensive front-wise, they didn't get off blocks very well. They were doubling the big boys. They would double Travis Jones or Matabike. And what they did a really nice job of was doubling. They'd come off double and then combo up to the linebacker. And Travis or Justin, they weren't getting off the blocks. And they would get position on them. And boom, the running back was through the hole. And then the safeties are trying to make Eddie Jackson is trying to make the tackle. Thought Roquan had a good game. I thought Trenton Simpson had a good game. I thought Trenton Simpson seeing the ball better, making plays better. I thought fundamentally he did some nice things. But and the pass rush, we go to the pass rush now. I mean, they were not good at all. I didn't think any of them were good. Oue had a nice sack on the one. When he got the sack, he beat Gedeki towards the outside. He dipped and bent the corner. That was nice. Other than that, did nothing. I mean, he plays hard. Ajabo did nothing. Ngakoue did nothing, rushing a passer. Anybody on Tristan Wirfs did nothing. Nothing at all. They didn't even get a sniff. So I was very disappointed in the pass rush. You know, they brought the blitz and got a sack with Washington at the end. You know, and they tried blitzing some early on. But, I mean, Baker had a lot of time to throw. And when your secondary is struggling and you're not getting any pressure on the quarterback, that is not a good thing. And Baker threw for 240 yards in the second half. You know, so extremely disappointing, you know, and they did make two key interceptions. I mean, Humphrey made that changed the game. I mean, otherwise they're going down, what, 17 to 7?
Yeah, they're down 10 points.
Yeah. So that was a big play. That was a good play. I thought Marlon played well. He's tackling well. He's playing physical. And he's got four interceptions. He's got more interceptions this year than he's ever had in his career in a year. So he's doing a really nice job there. And then I just need more from Kyle. I guess I expect more. He makes plays. He makes some big plays in the games. But I just expect him to be more dominant. And, you know, maybe my expectations are too high. But last year I just thought like he was so much better than everybody else. And I want him to get back to that, because that's the expectations I have for him, is that he's a dominant player down in and down out. Yeah, their problem is goes back to what Harps keeps harping on, consistency. You know, you could play good a couple, you know, or, you know, your secondary plays everything correctly, but you get no pressure on the quarterback. Or you get pressure on a quarterback and your DBs give it up. So they haven't put it together as a team yet on that side of the ball. That's the biggest problem they've got, is meshing it all together and playing together and playing together for four quarters, where we see the offense kind of doing that now. Now the defense, we don't want the defense to hold back an outstanding offensive team.
Communication. Is that still a problem here?
Didn't look as bad. I didn't see a lot of hands up in the air like, what the hell's going on? I didn't see that. So, you know, that was a positive. But they just give up. Yeah, I was the run game, I thought, was like, that's not the Ravens' way, you know, to give up 125 yards. I mean, that's not them, especially when you're giving up passing yards too, because if they're running it and throwing it, I mean, they're going to score easily, and they did.
The second White touchdown?
Yeah.
There wasn't a Raven on that side of the field.
No. No. You know, I mean, that stuff's embarrassing, and you could see, like in the fourth quarter there, Zach Orr, you know, you could see the frustration in Zach Orr on the sidelines, like, are you kidding me kind of thing.
Where you at, Dean Pease, with this advisory role of yours? But the Ravens do win, but you keep, they're dodging bullets, if you want to say that.
Yeah, you're putting a ton of pressure on the O.
Exactly. So we'll see. It looks like it could be an easy mark this Sunday. Jameis Winston's going to start for Cleveland. Nick Chubb's rusty, and we'll talk more about this with Zach Jackson in a couple minutes. And wide receiver group is now minus Amari Cooper. But, you know, the famous term trap game, could this be one for Baltimore? I don't see it, but well, you never know.
Well, Bob, I kind of expect Cleveland's defense to show up. I think they'll play hard because it's a division game. They played hard against the Bengals. And then it's all going to be dependent on what Jameis Winston can do, because if you look at their offensive stats, they're the worst in the league in most third down, total offense, you know, all completion percent, all that stuff. So does it change with Jameis? So we'll see.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. What happened in the world of sports last night? Well, the NBA started. We'll get into that. Caps won again. We'll talk about that. What happened in this day's sports history? It's October 23rd. And then notes from the North. We're going to Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. Getting you ready for week 8, believe it or not, of the NFL season here on The Fan.
Do.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this lovely Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear, favorite female artist or band, send a request. Plazaport text line at 410-583-1057. News from the North, or notes from the North, rather. News, too. Coming up here in a few minutes, going to Pittsburgh, Cleveland, who hosts the Ravens, 9-point dogs with Jameis Winston at quarterback. And then Cincinnati, Bengals, a win away from getting to 500 for the first time this season.
Yeah.
Tough task with Philadelphia, but we'll get into all of that in due time. In the NBA, season started last night. And out in L.A., history was made with LeBron and Bronny.
History tonight. The first father-son duo to play together in an NBA game. This is all in the family.
Where's Archie when you need him? LeBron James, Bronny James, both on the court at the same time. Lakers do win the game. Most importantly, 110-103 over Minnesota. As the Lakers trying to prove their worth as a formidable Western Conference foe. Anthony Davis leading the way, 36 points, 16 boards, 4 assists, 3 blocked shots. LeBron at 16, 5, and 4. Bronny played 3 minutes, did not scratch in said proceedings. The Grippies were there. We were talking about it yesterday, Ken Sr. and Jr. Gordie Howe played with his sons for the Hartford Whalers back in 1980. The Griffies, as we talked about, Tim Raines and Tim Raines Sr. played for the Orioles back in 2001. But first time in the history of the NBA it has taken place. It's been kind of a lightning rod discussion, saying that Bronny James doesn't deserve to be on the NBA roster. In second round draft pick, averaged 5 points a game at USC in his only year in college. You know, maybe some more seasoning is in order for LeBron and Bronny in particular. They got the historical achievement out of the way. Now let's get his game better and get it right, and he's not going to learn anything sitting on the bench watching the Lakers play every other night. Go to the G League, hone your skills, and see you later.
I totally agree with that, Bob. Just like sending a guy back down to the AAA. He needs to go back to AAA, so, like you said, so he can play. Otherwise, he's just going to be sitting on the bench.
Yep, but the achievement's been met.
Yes.
They've been on the floor at the same time, and there's video and pictures and evidence that it's happened. Now, get him better as a ball player, and for the Lakers, the task should be trying to prove that they're with J.J. Redick, a rookie coach. I mean, there's already a lot of subplots going on around the team. That one was accomplished, and they beat Minnesota, who's considered to be one of the better teams in that conference, if not the NBA. So congratulations to the Jameses. Don't wish any ill will towards them. All parents love their children. And it's a proud moment. He should relish it. But, you know, now it's all about business.
Yep.
Not, Hallmark movies. Let's move on. Last night, first game in the NBA. Defending champion Celtics took on the Knicks. And this thing was ugly from the jump. Boston clobbers New York 132-109. Jason Tatum was brilliant. 37 points, four assists, and... 37, 4, and 10 assists. They hit the Celtics 29 threes, 75 points at halftime. Demolition. And then the Knicks, because they're from New York, they get all this unnecessary publicity. And yeah, they were a playoff team last year, I get it. But Boston's the defending champion. And Jason Tatum, he was in the news this summer because he basically rode the bench for the Olympic team.
Yeah, no doubt.
Jaylen Brown didn't even make the Olympic team. So they still got a little chip on their shoulders stuff, and they went out and handled their business in a big way. Speaking of Boston, they will be the Wizards opener on Thursday night in D.C. NHL last night, Capitals in Philly taking on the Flyers, and what do you say? The Caps are old and ancient and decrepit and all that good stuff. That's your words, not mine.
Caps are 4-1.
No, right I didn't
now.
Say that. They're old, decrepit, and ancient, right?
They got some youth in there now.
Oh, boy, what happens? Hey, Nolan, play the highlights from last night's game.
Bobby Brink double team. He turns it over. McMichael sets up Mangiapane shorthanded. Score! Two shorthanded goals in the opening period for Washington, and they've got the 2-0 lead.
ESPN on the call. Mangiapane, one of the two shorthanded goals, 4 on the night. 4-1 for Washington, who have won 4 straight games. So they're not playing old, I guess.
Oh, they're actually playing very well. And Philly is bad, and they play Philly again tonight at home. It was home and home. But Philly's 1-4-1 right now. Philly can't score. Their offense is pathetic. They had 18 shots last night. They had 3 power plays, and the Caps scored twice on their power plays.
Right.
You know, and then the Caps scored on a 4-on-4, and then they scored 1 5-on-5 situation. But yeah, the Caps are playing good. They're playing good. Ovi's playing. He didn't get any points, but he's playing okay too. You know, but kind of got to like how they're starting out. And Lindgren's playing really good in goal, so they should win again tonight because Philly has a hard time scoring goals.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, this day in sports history, October 23rd. 60 years ago tonight in Tokyo, Japan, Joe Frazier beat Hans Huber, not Hans Gruber from Die Hard, Hans Huber, for the gold medal in the heavyweight division on points. Thing there is, Joe Frazier actually lost in the Olympic trials to Buster Mathis. Then Buster Mathis got hurt, and Joe Frazier got the nod and won the gold, would knock out Buster Mathis as pros on his way to the Unified Heavyweight Championship. But the great smoking Joe Frazier won the Olympic gold medal 60 years ago today, 1993 in Toronto. Joe Carter, touch them all, Joe. Walk-off home run, 8-6. Blue Jays stun the Phillies, win the World Series in 6 games. Joe Carter, walk-off home run, brilliant. Scott, I hated the Blue Jays back in those days, man. Yeah. With Cito Gaston and all those dudes. Paul Molitor, MVP.
Gopher.
For Toronto, Hall of Famer, too. And then 2 years ago today, at M&T Bank Stadium, Ravens beat the Browns 23-20. Gus bust 2 touchdowns. Tucker kicks 3 field goals. This was a snooze-fest game because Lamar was only 9-for-16.
Hmm.
This was one of those games where him and Andrew started whining about the offense changing a little bit. Justin Houston, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He had 2 of the Ravens, 5 sacks. 23-20, Ravens beat the Browns. The two teams renew acquaintances coming up Sunday there at 1 o'clock when we come back. How about notes from the North? More NFL talk, in specific AFC North talk. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. That's a Bengal touchdown.
Browns.
Pulls down. Miles Garrett gets home.
Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. Walk. Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Notes from the North. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. Talking about what's happening in the division, led right now by the Ravens and the Steelers. And we'll start it off in Pittsburgh. Talking about a team that made a quarterback change. It was successful, at least for a week, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's welcome to the show Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And saw Terry Bradshaw on Fox in the pregame show questioning, disagreeing, quite frankly, with Tomlin's move to put Russell Wilson in there in place of Justin Fields. It worked out great, at least for a day. But prior to the game, how did that resonate with the players there in that locker room?
Yeah, you know, I think all the players want to do is win. So, you know, whether that was with Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, at the end of the day, that's all those guys care about. I think what you saw with Russell Wilson in that game was more of a pro-style offense, you know, throwing the ball deep down the field, generating big plays with their number one receiver, George Pickens. And as a result of that, you know, I thought the running game really fed off that too. And, you know, when Justin Fields was a quarterback, you really didn't have that. You know, they were 4-2 with Justin, but it was a struggle. And to his credit, he was helping them win games, but it wasn't really, it wasn't consistent. You know, they were really struggling to generate offense. And you mentioned it's a one-game sample size. We'll see what the future holds. But, I think with Russell Wilson behind center, they're going to be a much more efficient passing team, and I think that'll help them down the stretch.
Najee seems like he's running much more physical and hard.
Yeah, I think with Najee, the thing that I've noticed, he's never missed a game. He's always available. He always plays hard. He runs hard. He gets those yards after contact. The big difference when I look at his play this year, guys, it's his ability to rip off the long run. He had a couple more against the Jets on Sunday night. And against the Raiders the previous week, he had, I think, a 38, 39-yarder that got them down to the one-yard line. So he's not that home run hitter. He's never going to be that player. But if he can consistently, rip off 15, 20-yard runs, his yards per carry average is going to go up. And I think the Steelers' offense is going to be much better. And I think that running game, it's been good so far. They're ninth in the league. But Jaylen Warren really hasn't even gotten started yet. He's been nicked, banged up with injuries. He's finally healthy. His first game back last week. So theoretically, that backfield should get much better here in the second half of the season.
Your impression of the defense and Patrick Queen?
Yeah, I mean, the defense has been good for the most part. I thought maybe some struggles late in the game against the Colts, or I should say early in the game against the Colts, late in the game against the Cowboys. But when you look at the totality of it, five of the seven opponents have been held to 15 points or fewer. I think they're second in the league in scoring defense. I think they're top 10 in total defense. And, as far as Patrick goes, he's still learning. We talked to him even this morning, and he said it's, every game he's getting more and more comfortable. So I don't think he's there yet in terms of just being able to fly around and play free. I don't think he's to that point yet. But what cannot be understated is he's getting the team lined up. He's their green dot guy, and he's been really good in that manner. So I think the production will come. I think you'll see more tackles. I think you'll maybe even see some forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, things of that nature down the line. But for right now, they're still happy with his progress, even though he's not completely comfortable yet.
Ray, last thing for you. If the Steelers make a move by the trade deadline, it'll be for what?
Receiver. I mean, they've been linked to receivers, really since the beginning of the summer. They haven't landed any of them, but, we saw against the Jets how Russell Wilson unlocked George Pickens' potential. If they could land a legit number two to give them another threat on the outside, I think this offense can be much better in the second half. So if it's anything, by November 5th, I think it'll be a receiver.
Ray Fittipaldi from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette talking about the Steelers. Ray, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks,
see you.
Ray.
There's Ray. Let's go to Cleveland now. Talk about the Browns, who host the Ravens Sunday in Cleveland. Ravens 9-point favorites in that one. From The Athletic, let's welcome back Zach Jackson. And Zach, we know Deshaun Watson goes down. The big story there appeared to be the fans, booing and cheering, whatever you want to call it, as he was carted off the field. Did not go over well with his Cleveland teammates. So have we seen the end of the Deshaun Watson era? Season certainly has come to an end here.
Yeah, I think so. I just don't think they can go back. And I mean, I think we had crossed the line of even being a gray area. Like, this was a complete failure. This is the worst trade in NFL history. So he has 2 years on his contract. They have money that's fully guaranteed to him through the cap for 4 more years. They'll have options on how to do that, but I would be surprised. I guess you can never be surprised the ineptness of this organization, but I would be surprised if he comes back, because it was just really bad, and the offense actually has a chance to be functional on Sunday with Jameis Winston as the quarterback.
What did you think of Chubb in his first appearance?
He's not all the way back. I don't think anybody expected him to be. I think for the next couple of weeks ahead of the bye week, it's going to be about the same, around 15 touches. Let him work his way back. He needs to get tackled. He needs to try to explode. So, Nick Chubb has been phenomenal and arguably the best running back in the league for a long time. And if he's not, Derrick Henry was. has been, right? But he's going to be 29. This is the second time he's had this major knee injury, and the Browns are headed for a rebuild. So Nick Chubb's playing for his future, and you know, I think he's still a good player. I think he's still Nick Chubb, but I'm not sure he's ever going to be that dominant player again.
How's Myles Garrett's feet?
Myles is much healthier, and one of the many things that's a shame of this season is that Myles is playing maybe the best he ever has. So I don't think they're going to trade him, but guys, it's bad enough that they have to have this discussion now and after the season, but you know, in the next 13 days or whatever it is to the deadline. But Myles has been absolutely unreal, and he's given him a chance. And his history against the Ravens is pretty good. So I'm certainly not picking the Browns to win the game, but I do think it's going to be a competitive game for several reasons. And if Myles has one of those Myles games and it comes down to the last 3 minutes, I won't be surprised.
Now, Zach, you mentioned the Watson trade, and it was bad. I mean, the results speak for themselves. But the Browns have made the playoffs a couple of times in the last four seasons here. So there's hope, but you mentioned a rebuild. Has apathy set in, or is it more frustrating with this kind of running in place mentality?
I wouldn't say apathy. You know, I think that was the case maybe 7-8 years ago. I think people are ready for the draft since they gave up 3 first-rounders for this awful quarterback, right? But, yeah, I mean, the fact that the draft is dominating the discussion here and firings are dominating the discussion here with 10 games left, with 4 months after they extended both the coach and the GM, like, it's as bad as it gets, guys. This is the most expensive team in the history of the NFL, and they're 1-6. And they're hopeless going forward because they're an older team and because so many of the guys that they invested in, not just money, but you know, years and counting on to make plays, are either already gone or on their way out.
Zach Jackson, The Athletic, covers the Cleveland Browns. They host the Ravens Sunday in Cleveland. Ravens big favorites in that one, going for win number 6 in a row. Zach, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Jackson, let's go to Cincinnati. The Bengals have won 2 in a row. Here from Bengals.com, it is Jeff Hobson. Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Bengals put up 38 against the Ravens, which was a loss in overtime. Should have been a win, but that's another story. Next two games, 38 points combined. Both wins. So give us an idea where that offense is heading into this weekend's game against Cincinnati. Or against Philly.
Well, they're looking for that elusive game where they get all three phases clicking, you know. So I think they've obviously shown that they can score. I think that, you know, the big question is can they, you know, a top 10 offense, you know, and that test will happen this week. I don't know where the Eagles are ranked. I do know they're coming off a 260-yard rushing game. And, you know, that's the best running team this team has faced. So I think, you know, they're looking for that first win at home. So, you know, the whole goal has been to get back to Baltimore 5-4. So, you know, they get here, they're 4-4 with Marvin Lewis coming back with the Raiders the week after that. So, you know, this is another big day for the defense.
Hey, Hobbs, how's the health?
Well, this is as healthy as they've been, Vinny. I think they think Orlando Brown and Geno Stone, two former Ravens, that went down against Cleveland. They believe it's a short-term problem. You know, I think Orlando is probably maybe a little bit, you know, farther out than Geno, but it's not going to be they're not going to be long-term deals. And they're getting their defensive, you know, all their defensive tackles are back, and that has showed up, I think, the last 2 weeks. What they've done against the run against Cleveland, you know, and that was big. They haven't stopped the run against Cleveland in a long time. They did. I understand Chubb is not Chubb. He's just coming back. But they stood, you know, they stood up to that offensive line well. And then the week before that, you know, they were really good against the run in New York. So I think those 4 defensive tackles being back has made a difference.
Hey, Hobbs, there's been a lot of talk about Burrow and his wrist. Now, if you asked us, you know, watching the Raven game, he looked great. But, I mean, you hear Belichick talked about it. A lot of people have talked about it. How is that wrist?
Well, I mean, Burrow says it's not 100%. But, you know, the man is a point away from leading the NFL in passing. He is completing 70% of his passes. So, you know, he threw some balls, you know, Sunday, that, you know, this guy, you know, look at that ball against check down, that 17-yard check down to Zach Moss on the sideline, getting the ball over there. I, you know, I don't know, man. 70% passing. He's been the NFL passing leader most of the year. I mean, you know, that ball he threw to Chase, perfect back shoulder. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, his wrist is fine from what I can see. You know, look, but, you know, hey, Vinny, I'll be the first to tell you, after 18 years of living to Marvin Lewis, I'm not a doctor. But the thing looks pretty good to me.
Jeff Hobbs at Bengals.com. Yes or no, Jeff, real quick. Will the Bengals be 5-4 for that Thursday night game against the Ravens?
I don't see it happening any other way, of course.
Jeff, we appreciate it. Jeff Hobbs at Bengals.com.
Thanks, Hobbs.
As the Bengals host the Philadelphia Eagles, Cincinnati favorite in that game coming up on Sunday. We'll come back, reset the program for you. News from the Nets, top of the hour. Buy or sell, where's the midweek money? We'll count that hopefully at 12:15. And we'll preview the World Series with Jim Hunter at 12:30. Also look back at the life career of Fernando Valenzuela.